Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church. Are your emotions leading you closer to God or pulling you away? You're listening to William Hunt's sermon on whether emotions are a gift or a trap. Your emotions were designed by God, but in a broken world, they can deceive, distract, and even destroy. Let's consider our own.
This topic of emotions is very, very relevant. It probably should be talked about more than it is, seeing that it is something to be managed every day in many ways and different situations. Everyone in this room has struggled with their emotions and their feelings in certain situations. From anger to disappointment, we tend to ask the questions, should I feel this way? How many of you have ever felt a certain way and you felt guilty because you felt that way? Let's just be honest. So we ask that question, should I feel this way? You know, and as a Christian, a lot of times we tend to do that. We tend to feel like that we're not being Christian because we feel a certain way. But sometimes feelings are involuntary. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But should I feel this way? Why do I feel this way? You know, we start evaluating, okay, why do I actually feel this way? Is this a situation that I've been put in? Is it something deeper than that? Or maybe we even say, I don't want to feel this way. But those are questions we ask. There are so many ways that our emotions are expressed. It really is hard to put into words how we feel sometimes. It's really hard to even explain. They're so complex sometimes, it's hard to explain how we actually feel in some scenarios. A great illustration of dealing with our emotions was represented, if you've got kids, you'll know this, represented in the Disney movie Inside Out, okay? And in Inside Out and Inside Out 2, if you have kids, you've probably seen both of these movies multiple times. The movie uses the life of an 11-year-old girl who is experiencing different changes to hilariously depict what probably all of us have experienced in some way, shape, or form in our heads as our emotions try to get the best of us. The battle of our emotions is a real battle. Why? Because emotions are real. You can't deny that. I want to pose a question and then answer that tonight, some questions, and that is this. Are emotions a gift or a trap? Are our emotions good or bad? Are they godly or carnal? Can we trust our feelings, or should we be on guard to how we feel? Hopefully when we're done, we'll have answered all of these questions and we'll be able to clearly use or clearly see our emotions and feelings for what they really are. My desire is for you to be able to successfully navigate your deepest, innermost feelings while faithfully living for God. Is that even possible? Is it possible to experience real emotion in a fallen world and still live faithfully to God? To do this, our emotions must become indicators of how we feel and not the dictators of what we do. I'm going to say that again. To do this, our emotions must become the indicators of how we feel and not the dictators of what we do. The Bible speaks extensively about human emotion, and it provides the wisdom and guidance that we need as we learn to express and manage our emotions in a God-honoring way. So let's look at your outline. There's three sections in your outline. The first one is God and emotion. The next one will be our emotion. And then the third one will be God and our emotion. So tonight, as we get started, God and emotion. Number one, God expresses perfect emotion. God expresses perfect emotion. I feel like that in order to understand this tonight, we've got to start here to fully understand emotions for what they are. All throughout Scripture, we see God. We see a God who has emotions. I put a bunch of references in your outline. I'm not going to go through there, but you'll see God's love and God's anger and God's sorrow and grief, and you'll see God's hate and jealousy and joy in those verses. These Scriptures help us visualize God with a personality. They help us see the person, or the theological term is personhood. And personhood is a term that means an individual with a mind or intelligence or will or emotion, which are all identifiers of a person or of the person. Scripture repeatedly represents God as a person, even though it says that God is a spirit. It represents Him as a God, as a person, even though He's transcendent, meaning that He exists above and independent from all the things that He has created. It consistently represents Him as a person. You've heard it said here many times that God is outside of time and space. He's transcendent. But the Scripture presents God as a person over and over and over. We get to see God as a personal God, one who is relationally and spiritually, one that relationally and spiritually interacts with His creation. This interaction includes the expression of His emotion. What I want you to know is that even though God is a person, God's expression of emotion is not like humans, because God is perfect. God's expression of emotion is so perfect. It is God's perfect nature that allows Him to express emotion and express it in its perfect form. Unlike fallen mankind, God doesn't have mood swings. He doesn't have emotional outbursts. His emotions never cloud His judgment. His emotions are always expressed without sin and flow from His perfect and divine nature. I want you to write down Malachi 3:6 and James 1:17. Malachi 3:6 and James 1:17. With these verses, we see that God has an eternal and unchanging nature. The theological term would be His permanence. It is His permanence, His unchanging nature that allows Him to express emotion perfectly. That's hard to wrap your mind around. When you really consider that, it's just so hard to understand how that you could express perfect emotion. And we'll get to that in a minute. But God expresses perfect emotion. The second thing is this: Jesus displayed perfect emotion. Jesus displayed perfect emotion. When we think of Jesus, we probably very rarely consider His emotions. But if we really want to see emotions for what they are, we can accurately visualize them through the life of Jesus, the man. He displayed perfect emotion. I put some more verses in your outline. John 11:35 and Matthew 9:36, Mark 11:15 and 17. It's hard to comprehend these verses based on how we understand and experience our own emotions. Our emotions are not perfectly displayed, and they are ever changing. They are forever changing. In one situation, we may display emotions appropriately, and then in another instance, completely come unglued. How many of you have ever done that? The rest of your line. In one situation, it may be even similar to the other one that we come unglued in. We display it perfectly, and then in the next situation, for whatever reason, we completely come unglued. But unlike us, Jesus always displayed perfect emotion in every situation. From anger to disappointment, His emotions flowed from Him in perfect form. Jesus experienced all that it means to be human. This includes His emotions. So He not only felt what it feels like to have a full range of human emotions, but He displayed those emotions perfectly every time and sin-free. That's hard for me to wrap my mind around. It really is. Because we are so severely emotionally underdeveloped after the fall of mankind. I want you to write down Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. It says that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus's display of emotion is a perfect example of what our emotions should look like. He always displayed human emotions in a godly, holy, and sinless way. And He was tempted not to. Jesus displayed perfect emotion. The third truth about emotions, God and emotion, is this: the Holy Spirit can influence and help us transform our emotions. The Holy Spirit can influence and help us transform our emotions. I gave you 2 Timothy 1, verse number 7, and it said there that for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Emotions are feelings. They're feelings that we have in response to the things around us. But our emotions can be influenced by many things. They can change with circumstances. They change with thoughts and can sometimes be very hard to understand. If we try and regulate them in our own power, they will undoubtedly control us. We have no control over them if we try to control them in our own power. The Holy Spirit is given us, or the Holy Spirit was given to us as a what? As a comforter, right? And a helper. So through the Word of God, the Spirit can help us recognize and regulate those emotions properly. He not only offers emotional support through tragic and difficult times, but an opportunity to totally transform the innermost feelings so that we don't deny how we feel, but we display those emotions perfectly in a God-honoring way. This type of transformation takes time and effort. It comes with failures. Can I say that again? It comes with, you say it with me, failures. But the transformation will come if we surrender those emotions to God. The Holy Spirit can influence and help us transform our emotions. Now, we've come to the end of that first section, but every part of the first section in your outline is to encourage you. To encourage you that God understands our emotions because He has them. And because He understands emotion and that we are but flesh, He offers a way for those emotions to be totally transformed so that we are able to display our emotion appropriately. And that brings us to the second part. Our emotions. Number one, our emotions were a perfect gift from God before the fall. Our emotions were a perfect gift from God before the fall. According to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, mankind was created in God's image. The Bible says there, let us make man in our image. According to what? According to our likeness. And the Bible says that God created man in His own image. The verse allows us to draw a very solid picture of Adam and Eve. Everything about them, physically, relationally, emotionally, were images of God who created them. Emotionally, they were complete. There is never a mention of any emotional stability. It never mentions emotional immaturity. They were emotionally complete. Their emotions were rightly ordered by truth, and they were guided by their relationship with God. I'm going to say that again. Their emotions were rightly ordered by truth and guided by their relationship with God. It's hard for me to comprehend what it would look like to be emotionally complete. But there was a time when mankind was not emotionally underdeveloped. Can you imagine having perfect love? Can you imagine that? It would be a love that was pure. And it would never be mistaken for lust. Pure. Can you imagine what it would be like to never be afraid? There would be no fear because fear wouldn't exist. Can you imagine what it would be like to have no guilt or to never have shame? It's hard to imagine. It's really hard to imagine that. Yet this is how mankind was originally created. They lived in a state of innocence and purity. They were free from stress and worry and anxiety. Their emotions never ran wild. Their emotions were never suppressed. Their emotions were never strained. And they never strained their relationships with God or themselves. This was God's intent, for it to be a perfect gift. Our emotions were truly a perfect gift before the fall. Number two, our emotions are a perfect trap after the fall. Our emotions are a perfect trap after the fall. I put a 4 or 5 verses in there about sorrow, joy, disgust, and anger. Even though our emotions were a perfect gift from God in the beginning, the fall of mankind allowed these emotions to become the perfect trap. What God had given to us as an essential part of experiencing this life became a very deadly snare to us. The entrance of sin distorted those emotions. Trust was replaced with fear. Innocence was replaced with shame. Peace with guilt, and love with lust, and so on. So now the emotions we often feel in this human state, this fallen human state, are not the original gift of perfect emotion, but rather the trap of imperfect feelings. Do you understand that? The emotions that we feel now in this fallen state are not the perfect gift of emotion. They usually are the imperfect trap of our feelings that leave us overwhelmed. They leave us confused and frustrated with life and people and situations, which leads us to being emotionally disconnected from God, ourselves, and others, because we mishandle how we feel. And why? All because of sin. All because of sin. Our emotions are the perfect trap. Now, I've got 2 thoughts under this tonight, 2 thoughts that I want you to consider. And they're a little bit long, but that's okay. Number one, our emotions can be misleading. Our emotions can be misleading. How you feel is real, all right? I really want you to understand that tonight. How you feel is real, but it can be misleading. We feel what we feel, okay? I mean, we just do. We feel what we feel. But at times, what we feel is not based on truth. It's just not. Now, it doesn't change that you feel that way. It just means it's not based on maybe even reality. But we feel what we feel. Part of good self-awareness is acknowledging that your feelings are real, but also understanding that just because I feel it and that feeling is real doesn't make that feeling right. All right? Just because I feel it and that feeling is real doesn't make that feeling right. That's real important. There's a big difference between real emotion and right emotion. All right? There's a big difference between real emotion and right emotion, okay? So understand your emotions are real, but they're not always reliable. They can be misleading. So the question is, why are they misleading? Why are they misleading? Our emotions can be misleading because they are easily influenced. Often our emotions are influenced by past experiences. What we experience, whether it's good or bad, will always play a huge part in how we feel about the next similar experience. I'm going to give you an example that happened to me a couple weeks ago. Amber and I decided that it's about time for us to start considering maybe buying a car. And so I went to a dealership, and I'm not a haggler. I'm not a, you know, I don't negotiate price. I know what I want to pay. And I go in and I say, you know, this is what I'm willing to give. And the guy immediately opposes my number. How do you think it made me feel? Like he wasn't even willing to negotiate. He told me, we don't negotiate here. The price is the price. Well, to be honest with you, I was very upset. If you want to know the truth, I mean, I was just like, well, who do you think you are? I'll take my money somewhere else. And to protect their identity, I will never mention the name of the car dealership. So don't ask me. But I felt really weird in that moment. I felt really upset that he wouldn't even consider. It was a very fair price, I thought. But to him, it wasn't. So my experience there, if I take it to another dealership, what happens? We tend to drag or carry our emotional baggage into the next situation. That's just the tendency. It is the coping mechanism we use to overcome an underlying personal issue. You see, emotions are also misleading because sometimes the feeling we manifest is not the real feeling. It's how we cope with things, right? Like, I'm upset. Why am I upset? Is it because that he denied me? Or does it have something to do with something way back here in the past? And because he said no, I feel upset. It's a coping mechanism we use to overcome an underlying personal issue that has never been dealt with, and now it has manifested itself as, Rocky said, let's say anger. Right? It's manifested itself as anger when it could be the underlying issue of maybe fear. Maybe it's sadness. Maybe it's even disgust. I don't know. Because of these two things, because of underlying personal issues and our past experiences, our feelings can mislead us. They cloud our judgment. They cause us to misconstrue situations and then respond inappropriately to people. My feelings overreact, and I impulsively, because of how I feel, I respond. Have you ever had or heard someone say, when they did something unexpected, they would say this, I don't know what came over me. I don't know why I said that or why I did that or why I acted like that. Has anybody ever said that? I have. I don't know why. I really don't know why I did that. You see, the answer to that statement, I have an answer to it. You know what happened? Your feelings got hurt. Your feelings were involved. It was an impulsive response to how you feel. In my own experiences over, and I'll talk a little bit about this in my closing statement, over my last 8 years, it's been an emotional update for me. I've had to really dissect some things and overcome some things and figure some things out. But what I found out is this, is that my own experiences have often dictated my responses when I felt a certain way. You see, high emotions left unregulated will stimulate emotional responses. Emotional responses are usually never the best response. They're usually never the best response. Remember our text verse? The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, right? In the Bible, the heart is often used metaphorically as the inner being or the core of a person. We are told that the heart is the control center of our emotions, our desires, our thinking, our understanding, and our decision making. Scientifically, we know that the brain is where our emotions are processed. The amygdala is an almond-shaped area deep within the brain that is referred to as the central processing station of your emotions. Or you could say, as you've probably heard, the seat of your emotions. The brain and the heart have a two-way communication that processes our emotion. Through a network of nerves and hormones and neural transmitters, the mind and the heart send signals and feedback between each other, which influences our emotional experiences. They are basically deciding whether to control or not control what is felt. Now think about that for a minute. All that's happening in half a second. How should I respond? Boy, I'd really like to give you a piece of my mind. Now you understand why it's so hard to respond appropriately. You're getting all that going back and forth, back and forth. Isn't it magnificent how God's created the human body? I want you to write down Proverbs 4:23. Because the heart and the mind send feedback and signals to each other, this is probably why the God who created us told us to do what? To renew our mind, right? And to take thoughts captive under the obedience of Christ. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." You see, this verse is a reminder that God knows that with our fallen, sinful nature, we don't have the capacity to process or control our feelings independent of Him. We need to renew the mind. We need a spirit-controlled heart. We must have God to understand our emotions properly, which involves a spiritually renewed mind, a spirit-controlled heart. Only God can help us acknowledge the realness of the emotion, think rationally, and then respond appropriately without letting those feelings dictate our actions. Allowing God to be our Lord is what it takes to keep those emotions real but in check. I'll say that again. Allowing God to be our Lord is what it takes to keep our emotions real but in check. Our emotions can be misleading. The second thought is this: our emotions can be manipulated. Our emotions can be manipulated. And it's done a couple other ways. I thought about a couple other ways after I wrote down some things in here. You know, I'll talk about ourselves and Satan, but our emotions can be manipulated by others as well. I don't have that in here, but that is a way. Our emotions can be manipulated. This happens primarily in two ways: our sinful nature and Satan. Our sinful nature is corrupt, and it can twist our thoughts. It twists our desires and our emotions. And we twist it in such a way that it's for selfish gain is what it's for, which is very harmful to ourselves, others, and it's sinful. Remember, our emotions can be a perfect trap. And to the devil, this is music to his ears. Our sinfulness is a huge, huge invitation for him. With his craftiness, he can use our sinfulness against us. I put 2 Corinthians 11:3 in your outline, and it just basically says that the serpent deceived Eve by what? His craftiness. An example of Satan's craftiness is found in Acts chapter 5. Satan tempted Ananias and Sapphira. In verse 3, it says that Satan filled their heart to lie. Satan filled their heart to lie. Satan supplied something. What that something was, I don't know, but he filled their heart with it. It could have been an emotion. I really don't know. What was that thing? Whatever it was, it morphed into an opportunity for them to lie, which led to them keeping back part of what they had pledged. The thought made them feel a certain way, so they developed a plan, and the plan became an action or a deed. Understanding this is important in the context of your emotions. You see, emotions that are left unchecked tend to run out of control. If we allow Satan to manipulate us emotionally, our sinful state can push our emotions over the edge and cause us to weaponize those emotions against God, against others, and ourselves. If we allow Satan to manipulate us emotionally, we've been manipulated, right? He does this by twisting the truth. He does this by planting a thought and then allowing, you know, he only needs a crack, right? He doesn't need an open door. He just needs a little crack. He can plant that thought, and when he plants the thought, he then allows our sinful flesh to attach an emotion to it to that manipulated truth, right? The emotion then clouds our judgment, causes us to misinterpret the situation, and then causes us to make an impulsive decision based on how we feel right now. I want you to write down Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27. And do not give the devil what? An opportunity. Don't allow Satan to manipulate your thoughts. That's done by knowing the truth. The more truth you know, the less he can manipulate you. The proof's found in Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. What did he combat Satan with? Truth, right? Satan can never manipulate us emotionally if we keep him at bay with the truth. Listen, even though the emotion you are experiencing is real, you are not a slave to how you feel. You have a choice. You get to choose whether your emotions control you or you control them. We regulate them by the truth of God's word. It is the truth that will conquer counterfeit feelings and help you regulate the real feelings and keep Satan from having a foothold on you emotionally. Our emotions can be manipulated. That brings us to the last part in your outline. God and our emotions. God and our emotions. It's evident that God understands his creation. The emotions he gave us were intended to play a significant role in how we relate to him and others. Our emotions were meant to bring honor and glory to him. He also understands the struggle we have with sinful nature and our emotion. That's why, number one in your outline, God invites us to bring our emotions to him. God invites us to bring our emotions to him. I put 1 Peter 5:7 in there. It says, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The verse reminds us that God cares tremendously. He cares tremendously about how you feel. He wants to listen. He wants to hear us pour out our heart to him. Our anger, our sadness, our frustration. Rocky says he's a big boy. He can handle it, right? He wants to hear all that stuff. God wants us to release the burden of these difficult feelings to him so that he can offer us something far more valuable than how we feel right now. He wants to give you something far more valuable than the way you feel. What does he want to offer? He offers himself. And when we get him, I want you to write down Matthew 11:28-30. Matthew 11:28-30. Because there we see the verses that says, come unto me all ye that are what? Weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, right? Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble at heart. And he says, at the end of it, what does he say? And you will find what? Rest for your souls. My burden, or my yoke is easy. My burden is light. When we buy into this and we surrender our emotions to him, God offers us rest. But not just rest. He offers us teaching. There isn't a complete absence of the burden. You still feel how you feel. We don't lose the burden of how we feel. We still have the burden, but it's lighter because he helps you bear the load. All right? You see, God invites us to bring our emotions to him. And I've got four things under this. Number one, God offers comfort. God offers comfort. Psalms 34:18 says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. In this verse, we clearly see that God is the God of comfort. He affirms the reality of our situation by drawing near. Listen to what I'm telling you. He draws near. He sees that we're broken. He sees that we're disheartened. And the Bible says that he does what? He comes near. Notice that he doesn't, this is real important. I really want you to get this. Notice that he doesn't dismiss how you feel. He already knows you're brokenhearted, right? He knows that you're hurting. He doesn't try to invalidate the psalmist's feelings here. He just draws near. He wants to be near. Remember, he's what? He's Emmanuel, God with us. He just wants to be near. He recognizes the brokenness of your heart. He recognizes your crust, the crushed state of your spirit. And he enters into that emotion with you. If you've ever been in a situation where you're hurting, you know that comfort comes from those who walk with you. When you're hurting, you're not looking for someone to fix it. Right? How many of you have tried to be the hero in the midst of someone's problem and found out or turned out to be the zero? It happens, right? When we're hurting, we're not really looking for someone to fix it or someone to tell us that you shouldn't feel that way. That just makes you mad, don't it? You shouldn't feel that way. All we really want is what? Somebody to be near. Just stand beside me and listen. Let me talk to you, right? Don't fix me. Don't tell me I shouldn't feel this way. Just stand right there and let me talk to you. You see, God knows us completely. And when we are overwhelmed in our spirit and our emotions are raging, He's not trying to fix you in that moment. God offers comfort just from His presence. God offers comfort. Number two, God offers peace. God offers peace. Philippians 4:6 and John 14:27 is in your outline. It tells you to be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And it tells you that the peace of God will what? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will do what? It'll fix you? No, it says it'll guard your heart and your mind. It'll guard it. It didn't say it'll fix it. It says it'll guard it. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." These verses state that we can have peace that guards our heart and mind. That peace comes from God. It's a peace that passes all understanding. In other words, it's a peace that passes our infinite or our finite human understanding. But don't miss it. The only way to have that peace is to do what? The only way to have that peace that guards your heart and mind, the seat of your emotions or the place where your feelings are processed, it says to do what? Be proactive and pursue it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I don't know why I feel this way, but you got it figured out. Let your requests, what? Be made known. Pursue it. You see, to feel differently, you hear Rocky say it all the time, you must what? Think differently. This only comes from the truth. It's the truth of God's word that possesses the power to change our perspective. We obviously must seek the truth and then accept it to feel differently. But we can't even begin to feel differently if we're not trying to see things in a different way. I'm going to say it again. You can't even begin to feel differently if you're not even trying to see things differently. I hope that sinks in. The truth of God's word offers clarity to my feelings. Again, it's not about suppressing how we feel. It's about untangling the counterfeit emotions from what's real. That's what it's about. Remember that strong emotions will distort your reality. Strong emotions will distort your reality. In the pursuit of truth, we find peace. Truth helps us reorder our emotions. And when our emotions are put in the right order, we're not denying how we feel. We're simply identifying, managing, and expressing how we feel in the right way. Does that make sense? That brings peace. To be able to walk away from a situation, know that you've responded appropriately, and not have any guilt or shame. Think about the peace that comes with that. Thirdly, God offers healing. God offers healing. Once our perspective changes, our whole emotional state changes. The comfort and peace that God has provided turns into healing. Psalms 30, 11 and verse 12 say, "You've turned for me my mourning into what? You've loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. My soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." If we were truly honest, we would confess that all of us need emotional healing to some degree. If you would just get honest tonight, you would say, "I need help in this area." We all fight emotional battles. For instance, I see this a lot with older people. Don't shoot me. Hear me out. I see this a lot with older people, and I'm probably going to be there one day. As you get older, there's an emotional battle of not being able to do the things you used to do. And think about, if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. There's a mental battle that comes along with that, right? And many people in the room could identify with that. If you're in the room and you have chronic pain, there's an emotional battle of just being nice and kind, right? Try being nice when you're really hurting. It's hard. If you've experienced that, you understand that. If you've been rejected or abandoned, there's an emotional battle to trust again. So we all have emotional battles. We all deal with certain things. Though these emotional battles are tough, it is possible to be emotionally healthy through them. Without a doubt, it's a process, but it is only possible with God. It was David that said in Psalm 23:3, what did he say? "He restores my soul." Look at the life of David and the emotional battles that he fought. Emotional healing is a process that involves moment-by-moment choices to trust and obey God with my emotions. It takes healthy thinking, healthy interactions, and healthy people in your life. All of these are part of that process. It's without a doubt what God wants for your life. He offers healing. I want you to write this down. It's just a statement. Healing isn't just about feeling different. Healing isn't just about feeling different. It's about being different. It's about being different. God offers healing. Fourthly, God offers control. God offers control. Each of the things that I've mentioned are progressive in nature, okay? Hear me out. God offers comfort. If you find it, He offers peace. Once we get comfort, comfort leads to peace. Peace leads to healing. Healing leads to this fourth one, control. Each one is not an addition to the other. It's not a, "You've got this, so here's this." It's not an addition to the other, but rather it's building blocks to emotional maturity. You got to find comfort in God, peace with what's going on, perspective changes, I get healing, and then I'm able to control because I'm looking at things a little differently. Healing leads to control. Each one is not an addition to the other, but rather building blocks to emotional maturity and living a fruitful Christian life. It's what Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1. Controlling our emotions isn't about ignoring them. It's not about suppressing them or pretending that they don't exist. Controlling our emotions is about recognizing how I really feel. and then regulating it in a way that brings honor and glory to God. I want to give you an example of this. How many of you have ever been sad? All right. Sadness is a real emotion. It's real. But it can be expressed in appropriate and inappropriate ways. We can express sadness and weeping when we lose someone we love. It hurts. We're sad. We weep. Remember Jesus' response to the loss of Lazarus? When he saw Mary and the multitude in John chapter 11 crying, what does the Bible say in verse 35? He wept. So sadness and weeping, that's a sadness in that situation would be considered an appropriate response to grief. However, sadness can also come from other things. Sadness can come from envy. Envy happens when you compare yourselves to others. It could be a comparison of success or status, or I don't look as good as that person, or I don't have as much money, or I don't have as many things as they do, or a house, or whatever. It could be many things. This would be an inappropriate form of sadness, a form that would need controlled, right? I start to feel envy. I have to regulate that, come back to reality, find truth, and control it. Remember, the feeling is real, right? But in this situation, the situation of envy, it's out of line and it brings harm to your soul. Write down Proverbs 14:30. Proverbs 14:30. There it says, a tranquil heart is the life to the body. Tranquil means healing. The healing heart is life to the body, but passion or envy or jealousy is what? Is rottenness to the bones. I find it interesting that it's the healing heart that brings life to the body, right? As we heal, we're transformed. That transformation eventually leads to proper management and control of our emotions. It takes the wisdom of God and the fruit of the Spirit. I put two verses in your outline. You see, God offers control, but we must surrender our emotions to Him. Then, through the renewing of our mind and the Spirit, we gain comfort, we gain peace, we gain healing, and eventually control. This allows us to regulate the real emotions in a healthy, mature manner that brings honor and glory to God. The last point in your outline and the second thing under this, God and our emotions, is this. God uses our emotions to draw us closer to Him. God uses our emotions to draw us closer to Him. As you start to dissect your emotions, and I hope that you evaluate them and not just look at them, but that you evaluate them in the light of God's truth. That's where you're going to find them for what they really are. You will recognize that God is using them to draw you closer to Himself. He uses our emotions as teaching tools. Really listen to what I'm telling you. He uses your emotions as teaching tools. And I'll tell you this, we've all got a lot to learn, right? God desires for us to be back in a perfect relationship with Him. He uses our emotional weaknesses to ignite within us the desire for something far better than we are experiencing right now. Like, I don't want to be in this situation. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to act like this. I don't want to. Psalm 73:26 says this, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Nehemiah 8:10 says, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Both verses show the weakness of the flesh, and they show the fragile nature of the heart. But without the emotional struggle, they would have never have known God the way they did. Had I not known that my heart was fragile and that my flesh was weak, I may have never known that God is the strength of my heart. God uses those emotional struggles. Their emotional weaknesses drew them closer to God. God uses our emotional struggles to refine our character, and really it's a form of our sanctification, making you the way He created you, with perfect emotion. I want to give you an example of this, and then I'll close. When I came to Corinton almost 8 years ago, I needed emotional reshaping. I remember Grant said something to me when I moved to Wafel, and it went something like this, probably not exact, but it went something like this. He said, "Wafloy and a hammer will help you sort out your feelings." Basically, just hit some stuff real hard. Wafloy and a hammer will help you sort out some of your feelings. And then Rocky would preach truth from here, stuff that I had been preaching in Nebraska or Kentucky, but suddenly I was seeing it as something I needed, not just something I was saying. Both helped change my perspective. I actually asked my wife this question today. I asked her, I said, do you think I've changed emotionally since we've moved to Tennessee? And she said, "You're not the same edgy person you were." And I'm not. I'm not the same edgy person I was 8 years ago. Now, understand what I'm getting ready to tell you. I'm not saying that I figured it all out. I've had many failures in those 8 years. I've had impulsive responses many times when I felt a certain way. And there have been times that I've given in to those, what I called earlier, those counterfeit feelings that weren't based in reality. I'd misconstrued a situation, and I weaponized my emotions, right, against other people. And it was for the purpose of hurting them. But over the last few years, I've seen God. Use my emotions to draw me closer to Him. You see, God uses our emotional weaknesses so that we'll depend upon Him. Tonight, you've seen that emotions were a gift from God. They were an essential part of relating to God. God created us that way. He wanted us to relate to Him and others and ourselves. But navigating all our emotions in this fallen world is challenging and complex. We tend to mislead ourselves and even allow Satan to manipulate our present emotions to make us feel what we want to feel, to suppress or deny what we're really feeling. But that isn't what God wants for us. He invites us to bring our emotions to Him. Allow Him to transform our feelings by giving us emotional comfort and peace and healing and control. You see, God truly understands that the emotion you feel is real. God really understands that. But what He knows, because the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, who understands it? It's God. What He knows is this: the emotion is real, but it's clouded by your sin nature. So He draws you close during those emotional weaknesses with the goal of restoring your soul. If you surrender your feelings to Him, you will experience emotion as a gift from God rather than a trap from Satan.
Our emotions were a gift from God, but are a perfect trap after the fall of man. God invites us to bring our emotions to Him for comfort, peace, healing, and control. He will use our emotions to draw us closer to Him. Coryton has a website with special merch like shirts and coffee mugs, tumblers, stickers, and more. Some with Pastor Rocky's famous catchphrases like, "Am I in the right room?" and "Nothing changes without change." Go to CoryTonChurch.store, that's CoryTonChurch.store, and use the code RADIO to get 20% off anything today.